40. Brother Larry did the devotional from Isaiah, and we preached from Isaiah Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we're back in Isaiah again, here in Isaiah chapter 40. Read the first 5 verses. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her. Here's what they were to cry: that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Again, Isaiah was sent of God to preach to the southern kingdom of Judah. He preached the judgment of God in the form of Babylonian captivity, that judgment was coming soon. He preached that their sin was the cause of this coming judgment, and therefore calling them to repentance. And as we've already seen, intertwined with his warning concerning this judgment due to their sin was a message also of encouragement, a message of hope, reminding them that God was a God of deliverance, and that they, as the people of God, always have the people of God always have hope, even in the very worst of times. And he tells them that in time, God's time, they would be delivered from the captivity that they would enter into. But before God sent his people into captivity, he furnished them through Isaiah with promises. Isaiah preached promises. He looked way beyond, 700 years beyond the captivity, to the coming of Christ in the incarnation. But God raised up Isaiah to give these people some comfort, that even in their captivity, God was what they needed. Now, in our text, Isaiah, again, is looking ahead. And the place that he's looking ahead to is Babylon. And the time that he's looking at is the close, near the end, of the Babylonian captivity. And he's giving instruction here in verses 1 and 2. Again, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And if you read the rest of that chapter, and we preached on this a couple years ago, that you see God's method of comfort as you read through the rest of Isaiah, and it's pretty much in the reverse order how people think of comfort today. But that's not our subject. So he gives this commission to comfort the people twice in verse 1, and then again in verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. So the question is, again, this is at the end of the Babylonian captivity. We know that from verse 2. So who is this command addressed to? It's not addressed to Isaiah, because Isaiah is not even going to be around then. It's, I believe, addressed to the prophets that would have been in the Babylonian captivity, that they were to preach this message, telling them in verse 2, and this is how we know it's at the end of the captivity, that her warfare or her misery is accomplished. That is, it's fulfilled and carried out. And you go over to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and you see that Daniel, in about the 70th year of the captivity, is praying because he knows that the end of the captivity has come and that God was going to deliver his people. So her warfare or her misery is fulfilled and carried out, and it says that her iniquity is pardoned. Her sin has been forgiven. And then it says, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That is, what that is saying is that her punishment has now been fulfilled. Judah has been 70 years in captivity. The punishment has been fulfilled. Again, it's God who sets the parameters for the captivity. It's God who sets all the parameters. In verses 3 through 4, very familiar verses, there's reference to the overall character and content of the message that the preachers during the captivity were to preach. And then in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And I believe that is the release from the Babylonian captivity. So we see several things in these verses that we want to look at. But we want to mostly look at verses 3 through verse 5. And again, as it is throughout the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is looking beyond Babylonian captivity. He's looking to the incarnation of Christ. And in verses 3 through 5, of course, we see all the gospel writers relate these verses to John the Baptist. So he's looking ahead to John the Baptist. Though it applies to the preachers that were preaching during the Babylonian captivity, but it goes much further than that, and again reaches all the way to John the Baptist. We want to speak this evening, again, verses 3 through 5. Verse 5, we see the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Verses 3 and 4, we see that they were to prepare the way of the Lord. And we want to speak on build a road for the revealing of God's glory. And that's what he's telling them here, is to build a road, to make a way for the revealing of God's glory. First thing I want to notice very briefly is the characteristics of the preaching ministry. This was true during the Babylonian captivity. It was true for John the Baptist. It's been true all along. But we see in verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. We see some in those words, we see the characteristics of the preaching ministry. We see the position, and we see the responsibility of the preaching ministry. We see it in those two words, the voice. The voice. That which articulates, that which vocalizes, expresses, proclaims, states, announces, enunciates, the voice. The voice. Always associated with a voice is word. The voice, of course, articulates the word. And the preachers during the Babylonian captivity, they didn't have to come up with their own words. They didn't have to come up with their own message. Well, notice verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? So they didn't have to come up with their own message. God would give the message. John the Baptist did not have to come up with his own words. We read in Luke chapter 3 and verse 2, the word of God came unto John. The word of God came unto John. And then, of course, so the word comes, and then it's the responsibility of the voice to articulate, to express that word that has come from heaven. So we see the voice. We also see the tone of preaching. The voice of him that crieth, conveying the idea of earnestness, conveying the idea of fervency, passion, and zeal. and a sense of urgency. So we have the voice, we have the tone of the voice. It is one that crieth. Again, there's a sense of urgency. And there needs to be a sense of urgency in the preaching of God's Word. And it needs to be urgent because it may be the last time you and I hear it. So, and because of the importance of it, there is a sense. There is to be a sense of urgency. We also see the place or the circumstances of the preaching, and that is in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Again, that's a desolate place. It's an unfruitful place. It can be a place of dilemma, a place of confusion, a place of distress, and on we can go. But we see the voice, we see the tone of the voice, and we see the place where the preaching was to take place. Then we want to go down to verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now, directly, I believe that refers to the deliverance of God's people from Babylonian captivity. But it goes beyond that. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That ought to be the aspiration of every one of us. That the glory of the Lord be revealed. That ought to always be our aspiration every day. That ought to be what we desire, that the glory of God would be delivered or revealed. This, again, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, this should always be our desire. This should always be our longing. It should always be the yearning of our heart, that the glory of the Lord would be revealed. Now, the Hebrew word for glory is the word kabod, and it means weight. It's something that weighs upon us. But it also means to radiate. So it is a weight. It radiates. It is something that leaves an impression. In other words, whenever God's glory is revealed, it's like a weight. You're going to feel it. It also radiates. You're going to see it. And it also leaves an impression. It leaves a mark upon us. And oh, how desperately we need that today. We need to feel God coming to us. We need to feel His presence. It needs to radiate. We need to see His presence. And that needs to leave an impression upon us. And of course, anytime God's glory is revealed, there is an impression that is left. The glory of God speaks of His beauty. It speaks of His magnificence. Again, in a way that weighs upon us, something that we can feel. It is His beauty, it is His magnificence that radiates, something we can see. And something that leaves an impression upon us, that is, it changes us. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Now, this glory, of course, is great. We read in Psalm 138 and verse 5, for great is the glory of the Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 16, this glory, of course, contains many riches. We read the riches of His glory. The riches of His glory. That is, there's much benefit in the glory of God being revealed. Now, in our text, the glory of the Lord is revealed. And again, that should be our yearning. That should be our the desire of our hearts. Moses prayed for this. Moses prayed that God would show him His glory. In Exodus 33 and verse 18, I beseech thee, that is, I plead with thee, I beg thee, show me thy glory. That needs to be our constant prayer. Show me thy glory. Again, in a way that it weighs upon me, I can feel it. In a way that it radiates so I can see it. And that it leaves an impression upon me, that it leaves a mark upon me, that I'll never, ever be the same after seeing the glory of the Lord. And notice, if you go over there to Exodus 33, notice God's response to the prayer of Moses, and this gives us a definition of God's glory, what is meant by it. And he said, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God is saying, I will show you who I am. I will show you who I am. And that's God's glory. It's who God is. When God shows us who He is, that is a revealing of God's glory. God's glory is revealed more than you and I think. God shows us who He is many, many times. And this ought to always be our desire, the glory of the Lord be revealed. We see, again, it would be the Lord's person, who He is, radiating all around us. It would be the person of the Lord leaving a weighty impression upon our lives. God reveals Himself. We need to always be looking for the revealing of God. We need to always be looking for God showing Himself, and that would leave an impression upon us. We read there in Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35, twice it says in those verses, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It's something they saw, and if you walked into that tabernacle, you would feel it. You would see it all around you. You would feel it. It would leave an impression upon you. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, some people would say, well, that was back in the Old Testament. We realize that. But is it not still an impossibility for God's glory to fill our lives, to fill our day? I believe it certainly is. That's certainly not the only time that God's glory filled something. So we see the glory of the Lord revealed. That's a possibility. And therefore, we ought to desire it. It ought to be our longing. So that brings us to our responsibility concerning this glory of the Lord. What is our responsibility? It is possible that the glory of the Lord be revealed. And we realize that God can, even if we don't make a way, God is God. And God can come at any time and reveal His glory, no matter what condition we're in. We understand that. But there's also a responsibility laid out here. And we see in verse 3, the preaching that was to take place was to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare. So the glory of the Lord revealed is a possibility. He's telling them, you're at the end of the captivity. God is going to come. God is going to show Himself. God is going to set you free. Prepare. That is, get ready. How ready are we? And again, I realize God can reveal His glory when we're not ready. Thank the Lord. But we are to prepare. We're to get ready for God to reveal His glory. To prepare is to make arrangements. So we are to make personal arrangements for the glory of the Lord to come to us. For the glory of the Lord to be revealed. We're to make provision. Prepare ye a way. The very idea of the word prepare tells us that the possibility of something specific exists. Otherwise you couldn't prepare for it. Prepare. So this is a distinct possibility. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Prepare. Prepare for what? Prepare for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. And again, this is done in the most difficult times. It's done in the wilderness.
It's why we're in the wilderness. We're to prepare. And when the glory of the Lord appears in the wilderness, it changes the wilderness. As we saw last Sunday in Isaiah 35. But notice what he goes on to say here. He says, make straight in the desert. So that's where they are. The desert, of course, speaks of trials and affliction. They're in captivity. He says, but while you're in that desert, there's something you can do. While you're in that desert, there's the glory of the Lord is going to come. And you need to prepare. And here's how you do it. You need to make straight. The word straight means direct. That is, you're to make a direct throughway, a direct path in the desert. In the desert. You don't have to get out of the desert to do this. You do this in the desert. Make straight in the desert. And then he tells them what is to be prepared, what is to be made, and we see it's a highway. A highway. Prepare ye a highway in the desert. And it's to be direct. It's to be straight. Our amount of preparation will coincide with our desire for the manifestation of His glory. If we really, really believe that the glory of God can be revealed, then that will show in our preparation. I mean, we're going to do everything we can to make a way. Now we realize, again, we can't say it enough, that even if you don't make a way, God can still show up. But we see we are to make a way, and it's to be straight, it's to be direct. This is not some winding highway through the desert, it's straight. And it's for the glory of God to be revealed. So now we want to look at what is involved in this preparation. And I believe that's exhibited in verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted. Now a valley is a low place. And we need to picture this spiritually. We need to spiritualize it. We need to picture it as the empty places in our lives. The empty spiritual places in our lives. We all have them. The spiritually lacking places in our lives. We all have them. We all have these spiritual valleys. You can refer to it or picture it as the spiritual failures in our lives. The spiritual places that we have allowed to become hollow. But he says, every valley shall be exalted. In other words, these valleys, we must identify them. He's not talking about prepare. He says, prepare ye. So this is personal. It's easy to identify the valleys in other people's lives. But we need to identify these places in our own lives. Identify our own valley. And it can change from day to day. But we are to identify our own valley. You cannot exalt it if you do not first identify it. So there has to be an identification of these spiritual low places in our lives. It could be prayer. It may be prayer tomorrow. Maybe Friday. It might be something else. But there's always valleys, spiritually speaking, low places. It could be prayer, it could be Bible reading, it could be worship, it could be church attendance, it could be marital issues, on and on we could go. But it could be God not being relevant in our lives, but all of these places need to be filled. They need to be filled with what is lacking. Not just filled with anything, but they need to be filled with what is lacking. That's the problem today. God's people, they get empty places in their life and they try to fill it with the world. And it becomes more empty. Now it's just filled with garbage. It's worse than it was before. It's better to be completely empty than to have the garbage in there. So we have to identify these places, and then we need to fill them with what is lacking. Whatever it is that's lacking. If prayer is lacking, we need to fill it with what? Prayer. If Bible reading is lacking, what do we need to fill it with? Bible reading. And on we go. But we must fill it with what is lacking. That's how it's exalted. That's how the valleys are exalted. You fill them up. You fill them up with what is lacking. Now notice here, it says every valley. The truth is, all of us have more than one of these valleys in our lives. And it's not up to you and I to pick and choose which valley we want to fill. But we're to fill every valley. We're to fill every valley with what is lacking. In other words, we are to address and deal with each spiritual empty place in our lives. But before you can do that, before we can do that, we must identify those places. And most people don't even get to that stage of identifying their low places. We like to concentrate on where we think we're excelling. But we need to look at the valleys also. We see, secondly, this making a way involves leveling some land also. It says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Now, a mountain or a hill, of course, is something that stands taller than the landscape around it. It stands taller. Mountains and hills, therefore, can become barriers. They can become obstacles. They can become obstructions. So we can picture these mountains and hills as things that get in the way of our spirituality. We have valleys, spiritually speaking. We have spiritual low places that need to be filled. But we also have mountains and hills in our lives. Things that get in the way of our spirituality. And it can be anything. It can be anything from ourselves to someone else. It can be anything. There's nothing exempt from the list. So we see these things that get in the way of our spirituality. Things that hinder us. Things that hold us back spiritually. Things that interfere with spirituality, things that disrupt, things that thwart spiritual progress, things that get in the way of us being and doing what we ought to be and what we ought to do, things that block our view of God, mountains and hills that block our view of God. These things, it says, need to be leveled. This is how we prepare a way for the revealing of God's glory. You have to build up the valleys. You have to level the mountains and the hills. Because these mountains and hills are spiritual roadblocks in our lives and have the potential to destroy us. They have the potential to destroy us because we can't see God. We all have mountains and hills. Worry, jealousy, bitterness, selfishness, hypocrisy, fear. Those are all mountains. Those are all hills. Even guilt can become a mountain. Unbelief certainly is a range of mountains. Indifference, self-will, certain habits and attitudes. All of these things can become mountains and hills where we can't see God. They obstruct our view. They obstruct our view of the Lord. But if we're going to have God in our lives, if we're going to see the beauty and the magnificence of God radiating in such a way that it makes a lasting impression upon us, the barriers and obstacles need to come down. They need to come down. So that we see here, this is a lot of work to fill the valleys, to level the mountains and the hills. But there's something else. And the crooked shall be made straight. So there's some things that need to be straightened out. And we all have crooked places in our lives. Winding roads, twisting, zigzags, whatever you want to call them. That which is deformed. that which is contorted in some way, that which is askew. These things are to be made straight. We all have them in our lives. We all have the valleys. We all have the mountains. We all have the hills. And if you look close enough, you'll see that there's some crookedness in our lives as well. In other words, there's areas in our lives that do not line up with thus saith the Lord. These things need to be made straight. We need to identify those areas. Once again, just like we need to identify the valleys, just like we need to identify the mountains and the hills, we need to also identify the crooked places in our lives. And once these are the places where we kind of meander around, we just kind of wander spiritually, the crooked places, you just kind of wind around. They need to be made straight. Again, we're talking about this so the glory of God can be revealed. So that this needs to be done in preparing a way. Also, we see something else in the rough places made plain. The rough places. The rocks, the stones, the debris need to be all cleared. Needs to be cleared out of our lives. We're not to bring in more debris. That's what happens so often. That's what the world wants us to do, is just bring in more debris, just keep filling our lives with the debris of the world. And pretty soon you make your own mountains and hills with all the debris of the world. But he says we're not to bring in the debris, but we're to clear it out. We're to make the rough places plain, all the stumbling blocks, the things that we're constantly tripping over. Just over and over again, we trip over that same rock all the time. Trip over that same stone all the time. Wouldn't it make sense just to take away the stone? Instead of just tripping over the same one every single day? So we're to remove the stumbling blocks, all the snags that we get entangled in. And some of these snags we get tangled in over and over and over again. Here we are, trapped in, and entangled in this snag once again. Been there 100 times. Wouldn't it be easier just to get rid of the snag? And this is what he's talking about. He says, make the rough places plain. Once again, all the rocks, all the rough places need to be identified. These places need to be identified in our lives. And that's where Satan has most of God's people, is the failure to identify these places. Not only does Satan cause us to fail to identify, he causes us to misidentify many times. Causes us to misidentify what the real issues are in our lives. So the message that the preachers were to preach in Babylonian captivity was simply make way for God. That's what he's telling them. It's toward the end of the captivity. God is going to come and reveal his glory. You need to make way. Need to make way. And that's why the Bible teaches us over and over and over again, yield, submit, surrender. That's what we're doing. We're making way. We're making way for God. Again, I realize that you and I can be as stubborn as can be, we can be as obstinate as can be, and God can show up and change all that. We understand that. But every day, we're to be preparing this way for God to come into our lives. What is it that stands in the way? What is it that stands in the way between me and God? I need to concern myself with that. What is it in my life that stands in the way between me and God? And I need to properly identify that. And it can change tomorrow. It can be something else tomorrow. And that's true of each and every one of us. What is it in our lives that just has a tendency to seize our soul, captivate our minds, and just take over our life? There are things, it can happen every day. Something just seizes your soul, something that just captivates your mind and takes over your life for that day. You've been robbed. When that happens, we've been robbed, and we need to realize that. And we need to get busy preparing a way. Now, we cannot accomplish verse 3 without going through verse 4, which makes way for verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So we need to be in the business of always making preparation for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. That's true every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's always true when we come to the house of God. But it is also true every other day of the week. We are to prepare. And we've said this over and over and over again. The best way to be prepared for Sunday morning is to be prepared all week long. You shouldn't have to come to Saturday and undo a week's worth of debris. You should have been doing that all week. All week long. That should have been done. And it's just a matter of course that you're prepared to worship the Lord. And the longer we let the debris build in our lives, the longer it takes to clear it out, the more difficult it becomes to clear it out. And there's, again, our lives can get filled with debris very, very quickly. Very quickly. We can't go through this world without being contaminated to some degree, in some fashion. And if we're not careful, if we're not constantly preparing, the debris will begin to stack up. And then it becomes overwhelming. Where do I start? Where do I begin? There's so much. So we need to be always preparing for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. And that ought to be our prayer every time we open our Bibles to read, that God would reveal Himself. That ought to be our prayer when we pray, that God would reveal Himself. That ought to be our prayer as we make decisions throughout the day, that whatever we do, whatever our responsibilities are, that ought to be our prayer that God would reveal Himself to us, that God would just show up in our lives and show us Himself in a way that it make an impression, a lasting impression upon us. And once that happens a few times, you begin to learn, I'm going to prepare. I want this. I want this every day. I want God to reveal Himself to me every single day. I don't want this to be a once in a decade thing, but I want this every single day for God to reveal Himself to us in whatever way God feels, whatever way God reveals Himself, that God would just show Himself to each one of us. And of course, that's what He does when He saves a sinner. He shows Himself to them. Shows them themselves. So may this always be our desire, be our longing, that the glory of the Lord would be revealed. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.